All right, it's Josh Culler here, host of the REI Marketing Weekly, and man, am I excited to announce to you guys a brand new book that is actually coming out very soon. It is available for pre-order right now. It's called the REI Marketing Book. It is literally just a collaboration full of nuggets from 50 of the top real estate investors in the country. It is 100% geared towards helping you with your marketing and your real estate investing business. And how do you get a hold of it? Well, you can simply go to reimarketingbook.com to get a hold of that. Right now, it is available for pre-order and should be published within the next couple of months. So make sure you go grab your copy. We've spent a lot of man hours putting this book together for you guys that is just jam-packed full of nuggets and bits of information about how these guys run their marketing in the real estate investing business. So make sure not to miss out on that. Now let's go ahead and jump into the REI Marketing Weekly for the Who's Crushing It segment. Make sure to take notes and let's make it happen. Welcome back to the REI Marketing Weekly. It's your host, Josh Culler with Culler Media and REI.video. And I am super excited to have a special guest on the show, Jim Zaspel out of the, I think you call it the greater Philadelphia area. Is that accurate to say it that way?
You got it, Josh. Good to be here, man. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, I appreciate you jumping on, man. I actually never technically met you at Collective Genius, but that's where I met you, right?
Right. So, I hear you, man. We've seen each other around.
Yeah, so many people, incredible people at Collective Genius. They're my favorite mastermind. And that's the connection between Jim and I. So the first time I actually went to a CG meeting, got up and gave a presentation. I think it was the same meeting I gave a presentation to. That was my first time presenting there. And you had talked to you and you got the belt for this, by the way. And you had did like all of your, spreadsheets and all your KPIs and like giving some crazy numbers and stuff like that. Even stuff I didn't understand. And I was like, man, this guy has got his stuff dialed in. So at that point I was like, I got to get him on the show. So we reached out. And originally I had that topic lined up for us to talk about, but you had posted a video yesterday talking about three things that you do not do in your marketing for your real estate business. Those three things are, we're not going to say it yet because we're going to let people, that's going to be the cliffhanger. They got to listen to the show, right? But there are three things that almost everybody in the real estate investing industry do to get leads. And so, and these are all things that even when I was actively, long story short, I worked for Gary Harper when we were in the real estate business, Gary and Wayne Schaefer, and I was their marketing director and we did all these. So,
sure.
Like it is nothing new under the sun, but I am very, very excited to hear why you don't do these, even though I've already watched that video and I know, but the audience doesn't. So we're going to find out why he doesn't do these things, but then also what you are doing on your marketing side. But before we get into it, guys, if you haven't already, make sure you have subscribed to the show. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts after the show, not right now, but after the show, head over to the homepage of this podcast here. Leave me a 5-star review with your feedback. I would much appreciate that. And if you haven't already, it's sitting over there, so I don't have it and I'm not going to get up to get it. But the REI Marketing Book, if you've been listening to my show at all, I've talked about the REI Marketing Book so many times and it is ready for production and it is ready to go out and get into your hands. So we were in production for a little bit of time, but we are ready to go now. So 210 pages of the 37 top real estate investors in the world talking about the marketing that they do in the real estate investing business, all the tactics, techniques, and strategies that they're implementing, hundreds of actionable items inside this book. So make sure you go pick it up. It is a free plus shipping offer, $497. And yes, this is a marketing podcast. So I am going to tell you, you're dropping into my funnel. You're dropping into my marketing funnel and I'm going to remarket to you all the freaking time because I got your data now. Right. So, but we don't cover up any secrets here, guys. So I want you to see that, but it's still a great book. Like there's obviously going to be like some, funnel stuff that's going to be going to that, but just tons of actionable information in there. So make sure you do go pick that up one more time. REIMarketingbook.com is where you can go get that. All right, Jim. So let's go ahead and jump in, man. I am done talking. I do want you, for the people that don't know who you are, to introduce yourself. So who you are, what you do. Tell us a little bit about the business that you're working in and what you got going on in the real estate world, and then we'll pick it up from there.
Cool beans, man. Well, again, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm going to get my hands on that book. I'm excited to devour that thing. That sounds awesome.
I'll send you one.
All right, man. I appreciate it. So I'm just a homeschooled geek, a college dropout. Started mowing neighbors' lawns when I was 12, and I grew into landscaping. So I did landscaping for 10 years, and then the economy took a dump and real estate sounded better than, you know, non-landscaping. And so I started doing real estate, did my first wholesale deal in March of 09, made $13,800. And, you know, it's one of those deals where I was living at my parents' house and I didn't believe that money was like real. So I went to the bank and cashed, it was Wachovia Bank back at the time, right? Cashed that darn check. No, I kid you not. And I was like, holy moly. I'm telling you, I walked out of the bank with a bag of money and there ain't a darn army in the world that could have taken it from me. Cause it was like, well, one, I needed it desperately, but two, I was just so excited. And I go home, throw the bag of money in my dad's lap. He's working at his desk. And he said, what'd you get into?
There's only a handful of things that you can walk in with $13,000 cash, right?
Yeah, man. So when the truth is, he knew what I was doing. And I said, Dad, I did it once. If I can do it once, I can do it 10 times. If I can do it 10 times, I can do it 100 times. If I can do it 100 times, I can change our lives forever. And so that was 12 years ago. And well, real estate's been good. So what do? I started wholesaling, bought a bunch of rentals, and then lost all those. And then did some more wholesale and fix and flips. And so we do north of 150 deals a year. That'll grow at some point, but not this year, probably not next year. I'm just focused on getting more efficient instead of growing. So 150, 180 deals a year, about 20% rental acquisition, about 20% fix and flip, and whatever's left, 60% wholesales. So I had the biggest rehab in Philly for a handful of years, did the seminars and coaching, all that kind of stuff. Made the decision 2.5 years ago on a whim, by the way, to stop that, turned off my ClickFunnels account, and business tripled the next year. Gross revenue tripled, didn't make any net profit, but business grew. But more importantly, I've been a lot happier, more time with the family, and I'm not getting back into coaching business anytime soon. I'm doing this because it's fun, because you asked me to, but I do not have a back-end funnel. It kills me to be on podcasts, not have a funnel, but I don't.
But I think that that's fine. And that might be another conversation at some point, but I hear this from a lot of people, like, you know, one example is Mark Della Torre. So we're working with him now. And he's like, one of the first things he told me was, I don't want to be an influencer. I don't want to like be a coach. I don't want to have a mastermind. I don't want to do any of that stuff. I totally could. Yeah. And he totally could.
Yes.
And I said, well, here's the thing. Don't look at social media or content or putting out, like being on a podcast or whatever. Don't look at that as being an influencer. Look at it as a lead magnet. Look at it as a marketing funnel for you for the active business that you got going on. So Jim, yes, being on this podcast, I probably have a lot of private money, you know, lenders that are out there that are listening to the show when they're just listening for a good experienced real estate investor to give their money to. And that could be a hook, right? And that may or may not be what you're looking for, but that's just what I've learned is don't always look at being an influencer, like being on content and being on podcasts, stuff like this. It's a reputation builder and it will help the business in some way, shape or form. Right?
100%.
Absolutely. But I'm glad you're on the show and I appreciate that for sure. So let's talk about it, man. We have about 15 to 20 minutes to riff on the three things that you don't do. So I want you to first say what those three things are, and then let's dive into each one of those. And by the way, as we get into this, I do have a very, very similar outtake on these three things that we're going to talk about, right? So I definitely believe in these, especially the middle one. So, so let's talk about it. The three things that you don't do in your marketing, and then maybe we'll segue into what you are doing to replace those things. So give it to us. What are the three things? And then let's dive deep into each one of them.
Sure. Bandit signs, mass text blasting, and ringless voicemail drops. Those are the three things.
Let's talk about bandit signs, man. I started working with Gary when I was 19 years old. And I think every weekend I was putting out at least 250 bandit signs.
Love it, man. But we all did. We all did.
I got so many tickets pulled over by code enforcement 6 or 7 times. Like, man. And that's one of the reasons we're going to talk about. So why don't you do bandit signs? Because that's a really big lead generator for a lot of people.
Yeah, it is. So it's one of those things. So marketing, a lot of marketing will go in phases. Just like you can do direct mail, you get the same list from the same provider, religiously the same mail pieces. It works great for 6 months, 2 years, whatever it is. And it falls off the cliff. You have no idea why. Maybe you change your copy, the list provider stuff, whatever. Things have phases. Marketing, I think all things in business have cycles. And when I got started 12 years ago, they were a little frowned upon, but man, they worked. you know, I put out 50 bandit signs in a weekend. I get 30 phone calls. Like, it was awesome. And 25, 30 phone calls was awesome. I tell you, that's not the case anymore. Cause you put out 50 bandit signs. By the time you get home, there might be 10 left, like standing. The other neighbors took the rest down. I'll never forget one time. So I used to drive I should have had a picture ready to share with you, a big yellow H2 Hummer. Right. And, had We Buy Houses on a diagonal, black letters across on each side panel. Dude, get this. I had business card holders with a spring-loaded lid mounted to my doors, right? So I'd be on a date with a girlfriend or whatever, right, on South Street in Philly, stop at the stoplight, and all of a sudden there's somebody right at her door, and like, what? She's there screaming or whatever. Somebody's getting a business card. Hey, I'll call you, man. All right, cool. I bought a lot of houses that way. It was fun. But I remember one time I was standing on top of the Hummer, with like a staple, like one of those hammer design, like staple guns, hammering some on top of the Hummer, arms way up as high as I can reach, stapling the sign to the telephone pole so nobody could take it down. And so why don't I do bandit signs? The reason I stopped doing them initially was not sort of out of any conviction. One, just a logistical pain in the butt, right? Once I wasn't doing it myself, logistical pain in the butt to track. So I'd use like Map My Run, that jogging app, which I obviously don't use anymore, but I'm at my run and I have like send the route. You can take pictures in route and nobody does it. They throw your signs away. A second is they stop working because they just reviewed so negatively. There are a bunch of news write-ups, not about my signs, but signs in general, in and around Philadelphia. And then, you know, the tickets, I had to go to court one time and I got a $178 ticket, $128 ticket for every sign I put up in this one municipality.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say you gotta wait easy if it was only $170, like
per sign.
Yeah, per sign.
So I showed up to court, and they're like, "I can't believe you actually showed up." I said, "Listen, I'm really sorry. It's my first and last time doing signs here. Is there something we can work out?" So I paid a $100 fine, and that was it. I was done. I was out. Mm-hmm. So that's why. That was why. And then second of all, why is the same reason for the rest of them? It's like, why would you do stuff that puts you at a disadvantage from the get go, as well as long term? Right. All it takes is, you know, what if somebody recognizes you or find out what company you are and they start, you know, this internet is so easy to badmouth people. And I mean, if you think you're going to do some cool marketing because you can do it anonymously or rogue marketing, like we've been taught before, it'll catch up to you for starters. And it's just, it's not good long term. It's not smart short term. I don't think it's borderline unethical. It's like, why would you do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been looking down at my phone because I'm trying to find this picture because here it is. I found it. So oh, no. if you're listening on the podcast, go watch the YouTube video here. So you know Gary Harper, Jim. Yeah. So Gary, when I worked for him, he got a yellow Hummer that had We Buy Houses on.
No way, did he really?
So that's the picture.
Oh my gosh, that's classic. Yeah.
So he had that. I don't know if it's focused on there, but he had a Hummer. And then Wayne Schaefer, we were working with him, and he had a black Hummer that had the same thing. So,
oh, that's awesome.
That's hilarious. But you're right. Like there, I think that, so in my opinion, you know, in the way that we're going, and this will probably be relevant to number two and three, in the way we're going, especially with marketing, you know, bandit signs still will work. They will work. Sure. And text blasting will work. RVMs 100%. Will work. But a lot of times it's dependent on you getting the deal is dependent on how ethical you are with the seller. So in today's day and age, we're kind of recessed. I don't know if it's because of COVID or the market or whatever it is, but we've recessed into this area of sellers, especially the demographic that we're going after, which are the 50 plus group, right? Those sellers are wanting more localized, ethical people to work with more than ever before. And yes, that's very apparent. And you probably see this in your market, especially because, you know, I've been out there with Paul Lazelle. He's out there in Philly. And then Eric Brewer out there.
He lives a mile and a half from me, by the way. Paul does.
Yeah. So, and those areas there, it's very apparent that they're like good old people, right? They're very localized people that they only want to deal with ethical business owners. Right. And so by you putting bandit signs out, and then, like you said, you can tie anything back to somebody very, very quickly in today's day and age with the internet. It was a lot harder to do 10 years ago when I was in it and doing it. But nowadays there's just so many ways you could do it. And so because of the ethical run that we're going on at this point, putting bandit signs out in somebody's yard in the community that you're in, it delocalizes you. Like it yes. literally pulls you out of that local scenario. And now you have a disadvantage by doing that. So I agree with that. And I have had my fair share of fines and getting tickets, having to show, and I did show up to court and I paid it. Right. So,
right.
I guess we're on the same level there, but there anyway, I think that I'm 100% on the same page with you. I think that that's something that people need to consider. And it's definitely, you know, it's a hot marketing tactic for a lot of people. I think I'm seeing it less and less, Jim.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I think I'm seeing it less and less, so I'm proud of people. But then that brings us to point number two.
I think they just got lazy and started texting people, man. They didn't get better.
Point number two. Yeah, that brings us to point number two. So text blasting, why don't you do it? It's probably for the same reasons, but I definitely want to dissect into that because almost everybody's doing that at this point.
Sure. So, a lot of our mutual friends have crushed it with texting, right? And I think it's great. You know, I'm happy for them and everything. I was really slow to jump on board because sometimes like you'll not do something and you're just not really sure why, right? That was kind of what it was for me. It's like I knew there were from a different experience. Somebody else's experience told me about. I knew there were some significant. Legal ramifications, right? In terms of like $1,500 per offense kind of situation, like at tens of thousands, it doesn't take very long, you're out of business, right? Mm-hmm. And so I just knew that that was like, yeah, like what's the real, and then it's, so then I started using one platform, not gonna name it. It is, I think, compliant technically. So we did it some, and we probably sent a grand total of 50,000 text messages like ever in terms of like, one off. Never really followed up. I just never felt great about it. And I listened to a presentation by Stuart Denyer, founder of New Western Acquisition. And he talked about, not going into detail, but he talked about this market study they did. And he more than that, he talked about, how important it is to be in it for the long haul. And so in the last month, I mean, we just haven't been doing it that much off and on, granted, like 50,000 text messages. We got friends who do that per day. And so it's like, you know what, this is not, and it dawned on me, like, why would I be doing something that I can't stand behind? Why am I doing unbranded marketing? Like we do some unbranded direct mail, and that's just because it for other reasons, not because I'm not going to will proud to stand behind it. And so if I got to do something and have it go to where you press one or press two, those kind of things. Yeah. If I've got to have, buy a random number with a prepaid credit card just so that it doesn't get traced back. Like, what the heck am I doing? We're better than this. And honestly, we're smart enough to do legal and ethical, efficient, effective, cost-effective marketing. We don't need to do this crap. And so that's why I don't like the legal, the financial exposure. And I'll tell you, man, I've been in the news once and not in a good way. And I'm not going to be in the news again in a bad way. And there was a guy, we know him. He drives a lot of Lamborghinis. He just got out of the real estate coaching business because of a business part divorce. But he was in the news in Philly, right? Because of he was dropping so many freaking text messages. And it's just, I get it. Like, why would you do it? Because it's easy. It's the path of least resistance. And I think as entrepreneurs, especially as you grow in your business, become a leader, of your people, of your team, of your business, of your family, of your maybe your area, you got to grow the heck up sometimes. This is something I had to work. I had to work through this crap too, and I'm still working through it. So why would you do it? I get it. There's no doubt all this stuff will definitely make you money quickly. You just got to ask yourself, is this productive in terms of who you is, or is it congruent with who you are as a person to begin with? Right.
Yeah.
I was talking to a seller yesterday. I've been doing more seller meetings with my guys just to keep me sharp and help them and whatnot. And I told the seller, I said, she asked me, Jim, am I getting a fair deal here? This is a good price. I said, Teresa, I'm not going to answer your question, but I will tell you this, that when I make business decisions, I do it as though two people are looking and watching. I said, because one is Jesus. And what would he think? I said, second of all, if my grandma were standing here, would she be proud of me? And I said, I'm sorry to say, sometimes the second one has more impact. It shouldn't, but sometimes it does. I said, I can tell you that if my grandma were here, we'd be having this exact same conversation. The price would be the same because I'm going to make money on this deal. You know, I'm going to, it's the business I'm in, but I feel very good. I'm going to sleep very well tonight about the price you're getting. And like, that's the kind of guiding principle we need to have in every decision, not just how we treat sellers, but marketing as well.
Yeah, man, that's incredible. I love that you approach it that way, because again, it's going back to like you're there to be a service for them and help them and solve problems, not be a house buyer. You're a problem solver. Yes. And I think that's important. So in addition to everything you said, so I've been saying on the podcast for the last probably 6-7 months that text blasting will go away. My prediction, I don't have a crystal ball like everybody talks about. They don't have a crystal ball for the next market recession. My crystal ball is not for the text blasting. I think it's going to be going away by the end of the year, before the end of the year is done. And it's just the way that they are. I mean, you're literally imposing on somebody's personal cell phone, without their permission and yes. opt-ins. Right. And I know that there are platforms that they're compliant and technically legal to do that, depending on the messaging that you're putting out and whatnot. But here's the thing is a lot of wholesalers, I know a lot of wholesalers that this is the only marketing that they're doing. Your business is going to be dead in the water. If my prediction's right, you will be out of business by the end of 2021. You will have no leads. Yes. So it's important to understand not only doing this. I think so many people just rely on text blasting because it's been so great to them. Like it's been that tree of a tree that has the fruit that just keeps
tree of life, baby.
And it's going to continue to do that. But then at some point that's going to dry up. It's going to go away and people are going to be caught with their pants down. They're not going to know what to do. So I think that's the biggest thing is like, I see so many real estate, you know, primarily wholesalers that are just relying on text blasting so much that they haven't started any other marketing channels and they're going to be dead very soon in that. So that's what I'm saying.
I learned that lesson. I was doing a lot of all my marketing budget was on TV, right? Last year. Now TV is great. And we know that my TV provider is Darren is awesome. Bullseye branding. But, you know, then the election happened. And if we don't remember, they're like, it was a little feisty. There's a lot of ads being bought from all these politicians. Yeah. And think what you wanted the outcome, by the way. But anyway, that aside, I had to throw it in there. But that aside, all of a sudden, TV ads were just crap and a borderline cost prohibitive. And all of a sudden, my main market was crushing it. You know, 10 or 12 ROI, 10 or 12 times ROI was like, you know, a lot less than that. And I was like, dang, I need to get back into direct mail. So what you said is super important.
Yeah, I think so. So let's go ahead and hit on this last one. And then maybe we'll wrap up real quick with some things that you are doing briefly. And then maybe we'll get you back on the show to go deeper into those things.
There you go.
So RVM is the last thing. And again, it may just be repetitive from points 1 and 2, but like, what are you against RVM for?
My understanding is RVM is actually a little bit farther down the regulation side than texting is. And so I think it is. There was just some new legislation that just passed a couple of weeks ago. I saw in the Wall Street Journal. Didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it because it doesn't apply to me. I don't do this crap. But just for the same reasons, it's a little slimy. It's like, I don't know. Like I don't feel great about it. It's a little slimy. So copy and paste, all the same reasons. Plus, I think it's actually more regulated than texting, which increases your potential liability.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I'll give you an example. So I do think RVM, anytime I've even gotten to the point, and obviously I'm not a motivated seller, but I have gathered this data and kind of come to the same conclusions for the demographic and everything that I've analyzed. But even for me, like with my voicemail, I literally say, I do not check my voicemails. Do not leave me a voicemail or I won't reply. So you either email me or text me. And that automatically filters out everybody. So if it's a phone number that rings that is not scheduled, I don't have it on my calendar and I don't have it saved to my phone, short of it being my wife and my mother, then it's not being answered. If it goes to voicemail, they leave a voicemail. It's not, they're not getting a reply. So that's helped filter out all that. But I will tell you this. Something that is advantageous for real estate investors to be thinking about is, you know, like I'll give you an example. So last week, so this new Corvette Stingray has come out and I love this new look. Like I've not been a fan of Corvettes ever
for a while. Yeah.
And then they came out with this Stingray, the new 2021 Stingray, and it looks so sexy and I'm obsessed with it. Right. And so I have a Tesla Model 3 and I was looking into trading my Model 3 in for the Stingray. So I went on Chevrolet's website and I submitted some information, you know, you're able to build out your own vehicle, customize it and everything. And then they have a section where you can actually submit a request to trade in a vehicle. So I put in my information and that kind of thing, submitted. The next day I got about 7 calls from Chevrolet, different Chevrolet dealers around me, wanting me to come out and look at some, you know, do some test drives and stuff like that. That's ethical.
Sure.
I gave them my information.
Yeah.
So that is something to think about, like getting, you know, doing some marketing that will hook people to give you their information. Now it's a whole hell of a lot more ethical to send them text blasts, to send them RBMs and get on their radar that way. And I think that that's something people need to be thinking about. I don't know if that helps anybody, but I just want to give that example because it's very relevant to what we're talking about. So,
well, I think that what you said is that you opt in. And just to be clear, we text, we RBM, but not on a mass basis, but to people who responded to a TV ad, an internet ad, or a postcard or a letter, right? It's important. And I view it as my moral obligation to serve these people, because let's face it, a lot of people we buy houses from, the reason they're in the situation they're in, which is not a good one all the time, is because they bury their head in the sand. And sometimes they need somebody to forcibly pull their head out of the sand, right? And we do that by a borderline aggressive follow-up once they've said they want to. Because we I remember, so when COVID hit, I'm sorry, we're going off topic, but I'll stop in a second.
Let's do it.
A year ago, the week before the world shut down, I hired two brand new acquisitions reps. They meet sellers, negotiate deals. And so great, we'll set appointments for you or whatever. COVID hit. The next week, I cut my marketing budget from 50 grand a month to 10 grand, or it was a 5 grand, something like that, and said, hey, you're working old leads. Hey, you. You're calling realtors. Totally changed the job description the second week. Yeah. And so the guy that was working old leads, I said, call everybody we met with 90 days ago or before, call everybody. And for like a year. So he did. What we discovered is that more than 9 out of 10 people sold their property at or very close to the price that we offered them.
Wow.
It's crazy, right?
Wow.
So my point is, if we're meeting with somebody about buying their house, they're going to sell it. And we're not stupid. Yeah. And so we know how to run numbers. And so they're going to sell it to somebody at our price. So it's my job to stay in front of them when that time is right.
Yeah, absolutely. And even find out like what the reason, so if they're selling around the same price point that you guys offered them, like what was the, what, why did you sell to somebody else? Like figuring that out. That's a big piece of it too. So man,
we stopped following up with them because, you know, we didn't close in the first week. The guy had new appointments and my automated sequence you referenced earlier wasn't built out. So
somebody in CG at the last meeting, I don't remember who it was, gave a presentation about optimizing your existing leads that you have and just like going harder at that. And I think that that's something that everybody needs to do. It doesn't matter what you're like, just because it's a dead lead in your eyes. You know, if they say F off, then that's a dead lead. But if it's somebody that has like shown interest and they just never like, they didn't accept your offer, well, hey, hit them back up, follow another follow-up sequence with them. And maybe that's something we could talk about on another show, but yeah, man, this has been incredible. So I'm not going to take any more of your time because we've gone over time, but
Already. It's
just been too good to stop it. So we need to get another episode scheduled with you so that we can figure out some of the things, and you did talk about some of the things you are doing in your marketing, but this is all good things. This is all good information that people need to know. I actually just shot a video today for my content talking about the bad things, like why you should talk about the bad things, the things that you don't do in your business, why you don't do them, the losses, the things that you struggle with, stuff like that. And I think that this gives some exposure to people to be thinking about what may be coming down the pipe and may be already here. So I think this is still very vital and important to talk about. So Jim, I appreciate you sharing all that stuff, man.
You bet, man. My pleasure.
And definitely if somebody wants to reach out to you, I know that you don't have any funnel. So guys, if he responds to you, it's going to be out of the kindness of his heart. But if somebody wanted to connect with you, learn more about what you got going on, maybe they have a deal to offer you in the Philly area or whatever, what's the best way to get in contact with you? Phone number, email, Facebook, whatever you want to leave.
Yeah, the best way is just hit me up on Facebook. I think I'm the only Jim Zaspel on Facebook. So facebook.com/Jim Zaspel. That'll suffice.
Awesome. And guys, we will have that link down in the description below. So make sure you do connect with him and tell him that Josh Culler sent you. So Jim, I appreciate you being on, man. And I look forward to having you back again soon.
Thank you, Josh. Appreciate you.
All right, guys, that is going to do it for today's episode. Thank you so much for jumping in and joining us today. Again, if you have not already, make sure you subscribe to the show. And now is the time, if you are on Apple Podcasts, to head over to the homepage of the show. Leave me a 5-star review with your feedback. I would much appreciate that. And then last but not least, before you go, REIMarketingbook.com. Go pick up the book today. And it's $4.97, free plus shipping offer. We're going to get that out to you. And make sure that if you do get it, take a picture with it. Tag me on social media. All my social links are down below. I would love to see what you guys are getting out of the book and how it's helping you in your business. So make sure you do that. REIMarketingbook.com. Thank you so much for joining us today. And I will catch you on the next one. See you later.